Welcome back to Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast season 2, where we discuss and celebrate all things parenthood. From the ups and downs of breastfeeding, the unspoken fourth trimester of parenthood, planning for your next baby, and preparing as baby enters toddlerhood, we're here to journey with you.
Join us as we unpack the many facets of parenthood with our panel experts and Haygen moms as they share their own parenthood journey with us. Hi everyone, I'm Allison.
And I'm Valen.
And we're back!
Yay!
So season one, we took a little break just to, you know, realign and strategize for how season two will be. And we're finally back. We are launching this specially in August as well. We really appreciate all the guests that came on season one. And we hope you mommies and daddy learned a thing or two from our first season.
That's right. And we have very exciting lineup of guests coming up, as well as new line of topics and just very casual and intimate conversations that you can expect in this season.
To kickstart our first episode, we have our very own lactation maven, now back as a guest and no longer a host, Yvonne Bong!
A little introduction about myself. I'm Yvonne Bong, the founder and CEO of Haygen. I'm a mother of four and I breastfed for a total of 10 years. And most importantly, I'm also a lactation counselor.
Welcome, Yvonne!
Hello, girls!
So, like I mentioned earlier, we are launching Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast season 2 in August, because August is a really important month for us. Valen, can you tell us why?
Why? Because World Breastfeeding Week is celebrated annually during this time of the year, from 1st to 7 August, to celebrate breastfeeding. And the theme for this year's World Breastfeeding Week is Step Up for Breastfeeding, Educate and Support.
So for this World Breastfeeding Week, Haygen continues to champion breastfeeding, empower mothers, and celebrate life. So we have invited our lactation expert, Yvonne, to come and share with us some questions about breastfeeding that you may be too shy or embarrassed to ask about.
Because we all know Yvonne as the breastfeeding champion, the mother of four who has breastfed for 10 years. Yvonne, you make it seem so easy. But at the same time, we've also read all sorts of stories online from mothers sharing about their challenges, and many still find it very difficult to breastfeed. So what exactly about breastfeeding that is so hard?
Well, Valen, that's a very good question. Let me start by introducing what is breast milk, right? Breast milk is the most important and I would say the most precious gift a mom can endow on her child. Because breast milk is miraculously balanced with the right amount of nutrients, immunity, living cells, hormones, and everything, including the enzyme that help a baby's digestion. So it's the best nutrient no other alternative source of food can provide to the baby, especially a vulnerable newborn. Right, but is breastfeeding really that natural? To be honest, no. Breastfeeding is a skill. It's like, let me liken it to a pianist. To learn playing a piano, a piece of music, it doesn't come naturally. You really need to learn the foundation, the theory, the steps, and practice. You need time, you need effort, you need energy, you need your muscles. And there's a lot of learning on the ground. So same to breastfeeding. So you need to first get used to your newborn. So I think, imagine not just about learning with your newborn, it's at the state where mommy just gave birth. You are trying to recover from a dramatic birth, right? Giving birth is not easy. It's not just like, woohoo, the baby comes out. Actually, your body goes through a big, huge transformation where your bone structure actually release, give way for the baby to come out. So imagine what goes under there, you know, the whole body changes. And then, lack of sleep. Right.
Which is what many parents actually battle with.
Yes.
adding in the mix of breastfeeding makes it even harder.
Exactly. Especially his first time.
Yeah.
There are so many other factors that many people would not know and may not be the same. It's individual to individual. For example, maternal factors, maternal health, underlying history, the spouse support, environmental stress, all right, or the latching ability of the infant. So all these are different factors surrounding your breastfeeding journey. So I don't want to make it sound daunting, but I just want mummies or daddies to have this expectation that breastfeeding is not like immediate. It's a science, it's a skill. You have to take time, be patient with yourself, love yourself, you know. You're doing an amazing job giving birth to a newborn. So give yourself time, practice, and most importantly, seek help early. Seek a consultant's help, a lactation consultant who can walk you through the journey. The best is to actually do it before the baby is here, to have a prenatal consult so that you have an expectation. Like, what is latching? What's all this about? How do I know I'm carrying the baby correctly? All the different possibilities of a challenge. And then when the baby is here, then you at least have some foundation to what to expect and then from take it from there.
Right.
I guess like when you mentioned, breastfeeding akin to learning piano, I guess in this case, a lactation consultant's role is like a piano teacher, mm-hmm. right? It's easier to, you know, learn or master piano when you have an instructor to guide you through the learning process.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So a lot of moms also say that, you know, is breastfeeding really cheaper? Because, you know, you're just eating whatever food that you need in your daily diet, and then you just put your baby on your boob, and literally there's like no extra cost in terms of, you know, buying things or like spending the money to go to the supermarket to buy tins of, you know, what else we feed our babies, right? Yes. So is breastfeeding really cheaper given the time, you know, like you say, be patient with yourself, the effort, the pain, the sweat, and the tears? Because, I mean, the cost of, you know, the cost of breastfeeding includes pump, manual pump, electric pump, we have milk collector, we have hands-free pump, we have, I don't know what new kinds of pump out there in the market. There's also the replacement cost of the pump part, and then you mentioned lactation consultation, right? Those all need money, versus the indirect cost, meaning the time, the sleep, like you mentioned, the flexibility of the schedule for moms to pump or feed, and also the mental load, which is the mom guilt. Is it really cheaper or you know, can we measure it this way that how is breastfeeding worth it if I have to go through all these difficulties?
Yeah, I think the magic answer I want to share is there is this very special bond that it's priceless. Nothing can replace that feeling when a child latched onto the mother. And really, I can't describe it in words. It can only be felt through the real experience, your personal experience. And that will be, number one, priceless and irreplaceable. You can't measure it in dollars and cents, in milliliters, right? And plus, where can you find a food source for your baby, your newborn, that is prepared so instantly that with the right balance of nutrients, water, and temperature? So, you know, anywhere, mommy, if you whip out your breast, you feed your baby, it's always the perfect temperature, perfect combination. So I think this is the first thing we need to understand. Like, if you see that this is something you can give to your child and you feel that nothing can replace this, then I think the later part, the math will come in very easy. So now let's go to dollar and cents, okay? Breast milk, yes, we do need to have the equipment, but you have choices out there. You can, it's a personal lifestyle choice, right? From the expensive to the most economical options out there. However, for a tint of milk replacement or formula, let's calculate it. Based on an average 6-month-old baby, I put some math down, right? They require up to 8 feeds a day.
Wow.
All right. And each feed can go up to about 240 ml. All right. That is like, we call it 8 ounces or 240 ml. And give it an average, that's about 2 liters. So if you follow the recommendation on the formula teens, right, that means each teen, which costs you $100 to $120, you know, the big teen, can last you close to a week, 5 to 7 days, depending on your baby's appetite, right? Then if you multiply out, that means you need up to $500 to $700 a month just to buy the formula, excluding all the rest of the accessories or washing equipments and etc. that you require to prepare that.
$500 to $700
Yes.
Wow. That's mummy, daddy's out there.
Yeah. So when you listen to that calculation, right, and plus that irreplaceable bond, do you think it's worth it?
What about the sleep then? I think I would pay...
I cannot forego the sleep as well, right? $500 to $700
to buy the time to sleep.
And on top of all the mental stress, like aforementioned,
So for sure, the first few weeks, it is more like an orientation program, right? Where the baby is just entered into this new club called life. And baby is trying to figure out your lifestyle and trying to adapt to your lifestyle too. And at the same time, mommy, now that you have this new little thing, you're like, hey, you little one, please, you know, be kind to mommy. I need to sleep as well. Or daddy needs to take the night shift. I also need to sleep as well. So the first few weeks, certainly, we will have lack of sleep. We will have time to adjust. But as long as we make it a very consistent way of managing our sleep routine, and the baby get used to the rhythm of the feeding, we as human has a very natural survival instinct that will work around this clock. And after a few months, right, for example, if I ask you to wake up 5 a.m. every day, prepare to go to work or go to school, you know, and come back and then continue to do your homework. I'm thinking of my teenager, okay, what they're going through right now. Okay. And then come back and do their homework, prepare for their major exams and sleep at midnight and repeat this every day. Are they able to do it? Is it lack of sleep? Yes, lack of sleep. But are they able to do it? They can do it. And after a while, it becomes a routine and you will be fine. So I think it's worth it.
Right. Yeah, because I've also heard like mothers saying, you know, you have the mother instinct on like when you need to feed your baby and when to wake up. Like it comes almost natural to all mothers to some extent. So just out of curiosity, like how long did you take as a mother, you know, like maybe during your first child or second child to ease into this period of transition? Because I'm sure a lot of mummies out there are also curious,
how long do I need to
wait for my kid just to have a sleep routine? How long did you personally, you know, take?
Okay, so for me, my personal stance is I like to cultivate a good sleep habit from the onset. All right. And through the success of my 4 children that are successfully breastfed, sleep routine actually enhance and support breastfeeding. So this is my personal opinion and stance. I start from the very first day when I give birth. There are certain habits. For example, I don't lift up the baby, carry baby immediately when they fuss or they are crying out for my attention.
Oh, so you don't leave them?
Yes. I don't immediately carry them. So I follow this how to become baby wise method. So I do go and talk to the baby and interact with the baby. There are many ways to keep the baby engaged, feel loved. Of course, I don't let the baby go wailing and crying out for me. I will pick up the baby after a while. And each time when the baby, I will judge by the cry, whether it's crying for milk, crying for attention, crying because it's a dirty diaper. And once I get to know the baby, so it took me like 4 weeks to 6 weeks. And my baby actually sleeps through from 7 to 7. So 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And this really, it takes a lot of discipline, a lot of routine and consistency. And I think that really was the best tip someone else shared with me and empowered me with this book, this method, that I felt that, hey, I can actually juggle a good rest, good enough rest, and also getting used to my new baby.
Right. right? Mm. Yeah.
I've also heard like some moms, they at first they struggle with getting into the routine, right? But then once their baby sleeps like 7 to 7, they themselves are the one waking up in blocks of like 3-4 hours.
Right,
and then
right,
they
yeah.
think like, hey, I heard my baby crying, but actually the baby is not crying. So when you talk about the body clock, you know, you yourself already get used to the blocks of 4 that yeah. that the baby actually overcomes it and you're still stuck in there.
Yes, yes. Right. So I think there is no one-size-fit-all parenting. So my parenting way was parent-led breastfeeding. So that means I prefer that my child sleeps in a baby cot. So I don't co-sleep with the baby, right? So there is another school of thought. It's called baby-led parenting. So it really depends on your lifestyle, your preference, and whichever fits you better.
I think another big question that mothers would also have is that, what if I'm undersupply or low supply? You know, these are significant key concerns about breastfeeding that I'm sure many mothers have thought about. So the question here is that, is the supply of a mom predetermined in her genes?
I mean, I have to also put in, if you haven't seen Yvonne's milk bank storage, I think there was
1,500
bottles of frozen milk. Maybe we'll post it sometime. You can follow Yvonne on Instagram, we'll post it. But you know, when moms see that kind of size, right, they also feel like, I want to do it, but can I? Mm. So then they will say, oh, is it because Yvonne's gene, maybe her mother, her grandmother, all have huge supply. Then that's why Yvonne also has this supply. But maybe I'm not like that. So back to Valen's question on, is the supply of a mom predetermined in her genes?
Okay, so disclaimer. The reason why I have to stash up to like 1,000+ bottles of express top milk is because of my personal journey as a working breastfeeding mom, that I'm frequently traveling, right? And so I have to continue to stock up to make sure while I'm away from my baby, there is milk to supply to 2 kids at the same time. So the baby and the older sibling. And how do I get there is really milk is about demand and supply. All right, I can spend another whole episode talking about demand and supply. So I do understand that there are a lot of moms feeling very stressed, seeing, for example, a picture of my stash or the neighbor open up the freezer and it's full of bags of stock milk, right? Well, mom to mom, there will be difference, right? Each of us, we have our different figure. We have our different appetites. We have different lifestyle. So I can say that maternal intrinsic factors does have an impact on your quantity of milk. All right. So what are the examples or pre-existing underlying conditions that may affect? Okay. So there are moms who has insufficient glandular tissue. That actually is insufficient milk ducts that can produce milk. So women with this very rare, very, very rare condition have breasts that don't produce milk to nurse exclusively. All right. There is also PCOS. I think the whole term is called polycystic ovary syndrome. So this will also affect the milk supply. Hypothyroidism. All right. Previous breast surgery, such as mastectomy or breast reduction. So there are moms also ask whether breast augmentation would impact or not. So it depends on the type of surgery and also radiation for cancer treatment. So these are the different factors plus the maternity intrinsic factors that could affect or impact, but that's not the end of the day. So it should something like that is a pre-existing condition, you know, don't guilt yourself not to be able to breastfeed. There are other supplements or alternatives that you can continue to feed your baby and your baby will continue to thrive. So does that answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the time, I think this worry overwhelms the mother to a point perhaps they don't even want to start with breastfeeding, maybe not even trying. Because maybe sometimes I've also heard of stories where mothers, they start breastfeeding and they're also not even sure whether the child is feeding or because they can't really, you know, see how much they're producing and all of those add up. Yeah, but I guess like what you said, it gives our mummies a bit of more assurance also in terms of, yeah, at least you try it out and know that every mothers, you know, they're all different. And I think there are also ways where you can boost.
Yes. So I think that's a very important point. So those conditions that I've described, right, is very rare. Mm-hmm. All right. So for mummies, they want to prepare their milk. There are methods to actually prepare themselves for it. And it's not like, you know, if I see my grandma or my mother who has never breastfed, then that's the end of the day already, right? No, actually, it's demand and supply. So we have some exercise massages that we can share and help moms. So I do share them on my Instagram and check them out. So you can actually do some prenatal massages on your breast to stimulate and prepare for your baby's birth.
It doesn't mean that moms who suffer from, you know, maybe PCOS or, you know, they have less milk glands in their breast, that means that, oh, I totally cannot breastfeed or I shouldn't even try breastfeeding, you know. Which is why a prenatal consult, like what Yvonne said, is very important to help you determine, you know, what are some ways to prepare yourself and set yourself up for a successful breastfeeding journey.
Yeah. Knowledge is power. So the earlier you get to understand the theory behind, the fundamentals behind breastfeeding, acquire the skill, the more successful your breastfeeding journey will be.
Now, where would you also suggest, you know, mothers to go for these kind of checkups, and what is the ideal time that you think, how early should a mother go and consult?
I think the most ideal time will be when the mummy turns into second trimester.
That's about where
24 weeks. Yes, like 6 months onwards. This is the best time for mummy to actually explore, understand, because the belly is starting to show and the reality is starting to set in. Some mummies will live in like a denial, like, am I really pregnant? Like, I don't see anything coming out and my appetite never changed, you know. So yes, 6 months onwards. And the best place is lactation specialists. Look out for certified lactation counselors, IBCLC, board certified lactation consultants. There are also a lot of support groups out there. So it is very important to find science-backed and
evidence-based
support to help you.
Yeah, that's right. So after, you know, we get into the routine, after, you know, the 4 weeks, the 6 weeks, and then I start to breastfeed my baby, and then I start to see like, hey, my baby maybe has rashes, but she's only, or he or she, it's only breastfeeding. Is my baby allergic to my breast milk, or can my baby be allergic to my breast milk?
Okay, this is a very, very good question. Yeah, so human milk is rarely intolerant to the youngs.
Mm.
All right, this is survival. And in fact, exclusively breastfed baby has a better immunity towards food allergies.
Oh.
Okay, so if your baby is only having your milk and you see that, hey, there is some signs of allergies like eczema, dry, scaly skin, or very mucus, runny poo, right? This is a sign of allergy that we have to check and eliminate whether is it through the breast milk from the mother's diet.
Oh, diet.
Yeah. And so whatever mommy eat can be passed on through the breast milk to the child.
Right.
Okay. And the reaction probably is a child's reaction to what they are intolerant in the food, right, that mommy has been taking.
Yeah.
So some of the common food that may have triggered this little signs of potential, what do you call that? Allergies. Potential allergies would be milk and dairy products. So such as butter, yogurt, cheese.
All the yummy.
Yummy. Oh, there goes the yogurt and cakes and
ice cream.
Mommy, your diet.
There goes.
Not all. Some. Eggs, peanuts, soy, wheat, fish, sesame seeds, lupin or lentils, shellfish, fenugreek in some cases, right? Tree nuts. So for example, almonds, hazelnuts, walnuts, cashews, and celeries, mustard. So the list is quite long.
Mm.
All right. If you Google, you actually can see a lot of this list. But don't immediately remove all this from your diet. You need to have a well-balanced, nutritious diet.
As a breastfeeding mom, especially.
Yes, yeah. So depending on how sensitive your baby is, remove or cutting down this we call it offending items, right, in your diet, will help to solve the problem. But before you eliminate, I will suggest, visit a dietitian. Seek their help to look through what are you currently consuming, identify what is necessary in your diet, and what are the replacements that can help to make sure you have sufficient to nourish yourself and the baby before you do any elimination process.
And sometimes, like, moms just straight away think, okay, is it my breast milk? But maybe it's environmental factors also, like, too dry, you know, you're always in aircon room because Singapore is so hot, right? And I mean, when we release this episode, it's like summer, there's heat wave.
40 degrees out there, guys.
So sometimes it might not even be breast milk or breastfeeding, but it could be, you know, so many other factors. So it's best to seek your family doctor, your PD, you know, for expert advice.
Yeah. Talking about this, I share a very interesting example. So there was a mom that was very concerned about whether the baby is allergic to her milk because of her very strong taste diet. Right, so she likes very
strong
flavors, right?
Like curry,
curry and Japanese, the curry, everything. And then when we start looking into it, it wasn't so much of her diet. It was actually there is a family history. The genes, the father's genes, have a history of eczema and skin allergies.
Right. Even so the father's genes,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. So once we identify that, then the mommy will feel less guilty and we can actually look at the root cause together and resolve the problem for the baby in a more holistic way.
So finally, it's like, it's dad's fault. It's not just the things.
It's a shared responsibility.
Shared responsibility.
You also have some fault.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Speaking of diet and feeding babies, we have another curious question here too. Should I actually alternate my breast when I'm breastfeeding?
Especially when some moms also say like, oh, you know, I have a lazy breast. Like one breast produces like,
More.
And then
compared
like,
to the other one. Yeah.
Okay. So breastfeeding on one of both sides is actually a personal preference, or I would say it's your baby's preference. Mm-hmm. But it is highly recommended to alternate breasts in the first few weeks from the birth of your child. Why? Because this helps to stimulate the production of breast milk when you're establishing a healthy supply of milk. Right? You need the supply and demand. So alternating between the breasts allows your baby to draw a good amount of balanced nutrients between the foremilk and the hind milk. And this will help you to stimulate and produce more milk to meet your baby's growing appetite and the baby's needs. Problems such as engorgement, mastitis, or blocked milk ducts, right, can also be minimized if you alternate.
Okay.
Yeah. Then once your baby starts to develop and your milk supply is more or less established, and that's around usually about 4 to 6 weeks, you can start to feed by one side if it's more convenient, right? Because sometimes the baby can be very full and content and look so like milk coma already, like, oh, yeah. Like, we call it milk drunk, right? Like, woohoo! Yeah. So whichever method works well for the baby and yourself, then just alternate to the next one during the next feed.
Okay.
But there are cases, right, where the child really prefers just one side. And that's really quite tricky because then mummy will keep producing on one side and it gets fuller and the other side gets lazier, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the breast fault. It's just the demand, right? So what we can do is while you continue to breast the side that your baby enjoys, the other one pump. So how long the baby drinks on that side that the baby prefers, the other side pump equal long duration after the baby finish feeding.
It's just like working out, right? Like I'm right-handed, so naturally my right hand is like, I want to do more, but then I have to purposely, like, you know,
make it a point to do the other side.
Correct. And do more reps even because it's like the lazy.
And again, it's like you have two sides of it for a reason. Like everything has to be, it's all about balance, I guess, right? Yeah.
Okay, so we are about to wrap up. this episode, but we have a few more questions left to ask Yvonne. So when you talk about breastfeeding, you know, we mentioned about the mother, of course, and then, you know, with the support of lactation consultant, husbands. But, you know, sometimes some moms may face an issue where maybe my partner, maybe in this case my husband, or my parents, or my parents-in-law, or even my grandmother, and they say it's okay to give up, you know. And you know, with our podcast, with our Instagram, with our, you know, so many resources, that breast milk is the best gift that I can give to my child. But, you know, all these people are dissuading me to breastfeed. How? Yvonne, have you faced such a problem before where, you know, maybe some people are unsupportive of your decision to breastfeed?
Like discouraging comments also, yeah, that you hear.
Right, for sure. For sure, as a first-time mom then, I was very conflicted, right? And I think what really helped was attending a prenatal class workshop together with Leon, my husband. And we know what is our breastfeeding goals. So I think this is the first step that you and your partner need to be on the same page. Have a birth plan. So beyond just about breastfeeding, we need to understand what, together as a unit, right? What would be the delivery options, pain management, the choice of birthing, right? And et cetera, the doctor to go to, the hospital that you want to deliver, and then who are the team of your birth team that you want to be there to support you? Do you need a doula? Do you want to have a lactation counselor that will follow you through, et cetera? So once you set this birth plan out, then it's communication. So with every successful, be it at jobs, be it in school, we always set a goal, right? And then we set out our plan, your strategy. So communication with the family, with your people, the five pillars around you. So I always talk about the husband, your parents or parents-in-law, your siblings or your BFF, your besties, your colleagues, your supervisors, your bosses, and last but not least, your little, the older ones, the older siblings, or even your family pets. This is a whole support system around you. So talk to them and let them know your wish. This is my wish. And please support me. And how would you be able to support me? So I think a lot of our older elders, right?
Relatives, right?
Or even parents, they really heartache to see their daughter-in-law, their children, you know, the son-in-law, to really be lack of sleep and struggling through this whole thing. And so their good intent is, don't do it, relax. Let me help you, you know, use a supplement and all
help.
That. Yeah, they want to help. The intent is good. But as long as they understand that you are going through this, this is a teething issue that you need to plow through. Support me by giving me encouragement, and that will help already. I think then they will know when to back off in a very respectful way. I think this is very important. Communication is the biggest success in family, right? So, and also I think having a lactation specialist being your check-in will help you too. So there will be times where someone will come and say, oh, your milk is causing this issue to your child, or you shouldn't do this, your baby's having a jaundice, you should stop this and that. So instead of jumping to conclusion or feeling insecure and make that decision on the spot, have a coach or lactation specialist to check and discuss and to make an informed decision there and then.
I think personally it's very interesting because I've never heard of, you know, like having a breastfeeding goal. Yeah, it's a very new term. I mean, for me, because I'm still learning. I mean, at this stage, you know, parents to be are not yet of America.
planning to be in the future.
Yeah, so it's very new concept because I feel like planning and all this is a very our generation, the younger generation, kind of thinking way of doing things. Because I mean, you talk to your mothers or my grandmothers, they'll tell you things like, oh, just do it. Like, just do it. Yeah, just do it. If you can't, then it's okay. There isn't, like, you know, sitting together with your husband, thinking, going to, you know, lactation specialist, consultant, asking for advice professionally. Like, there wasn't such a thing back then. So it, I think, it's a very new thing, and even for the younger mothers, preparing preparing to become a mother is a very helpful tip.
Right. And I guess with any good thing that we want to do, like you said, playing the piano, and I mentioned, you know, training in the gym, for example, they actually have many parallels. Like, you know, you have to put in the effort. Yeah. You need to give yourself time to see, let's say, your body change, being able to breastfeed successfully, or, you know, playing the piano, for example. So all these are skills that we need to learn and acquire as we go through in life. And yes, with that, you know, we need to put in the effort, put in the time. Maybe there are some sacrifices, mm-hmm, that we need to do to, you know, achieve that goal that we set out for ourselves.
Yes. Even just cost, right? Like you say, visiting, getting a professional help. Yeah.
Yeah. And set very small, achievable goals.
Right.
So what I encourage is, don't be afraid by, like, oh, who say that I must feed for 5 years, 10 years? Don't worry about whatever other people do. Do it your way. So if you feel that, okay, 6 months is a good first milestone to my breastfeeding journey, set that as your first goal. All right? In fact, the make or break is the first 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, tell yourself, I will make it. I will pass through with flying colors after 4 to 6 weeks. And then set your 6 months goal. And every month after that
is a bonus.
Yeah. Is a progress. Little step to ultimately, wow, you're like, I've done it for a year. Wow, I've achieved 18 months. Wow, 24. You know, like, these are goals. And whether you feed for 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, you are a breastfeeding mom and you are doing amazing.
Yes, that's right.
Wow, this is so much
insightful.
To take in.
Yeah,
so insightful.
Yeah.
And it's very new to me personally. I'm also learning as we're, you know, doing this podcast alongside the mummies, you know. So before we enter into our last segment for today, before we wrap up today's session, we have specially prepared a new segment for this season's podcast for all our new guests. So we've created a few short questions. This segment is called the Rapid Fire Question Segment. So it's for our audience to also get to know you a bit more.
So this is totally unprepared.
Yeah,
people didn't have
nothing,
idea.
Yeah, so you can, this is raw. It's real.
Yeah, so Yvonne's still in shock. So we wanted to, you know, have this quick segment so that we can also get to know Yvonne on a more intimate level. You know, we already know she's a breastfeeding mom, 10 years, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there are some things that maybe we still don't know about breastfeeding or about Yvonne herself. So there's only one rule to this segment, which is that the guest, Yvonne in this case, has to answer the question in 5 seconds. So you don't even have to think, just answer.
Whatever that comes to mind first.
Yeah,
okay. That's the answer we want.
Are you ready, Yvonne?
Yeah. Okay. We'll just do this like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 for you to like, oh, okay, within the 5 seconds up.
It's very easy question, so okay. So the first one to get everyone's engine started is, what is your favorite food to eat during breastfeeding? 5, 4.
Famous Amos cookies.
Cookies.
Yeah, you see, we didn't know about that. So.
I bought one, like, one, you call
one
it?
Teen. Which flavor?
It's 1 kg of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a very basic chocolate chips one. 1 kg, I have a tin beside my breastfeeding chair. Yes.
So you ate that for all four?
Yes, all four.
Oh, wow.
Very
so it's consistent. So consistent across four. Okay, okay.
Okay, the second question. It's okay, right? The first question. Okay, the second question is, most memorable breastfeeding place in public? 5.
Okay, a shopping mall. In
Why?
United Square. And
it's so specific.
Yeah, it's specific. Because it was the first time I experienced breastfeeding in public, right? And that was like, I think Russell was 6 months.
Russell's our first son.
Russell's my eldest.
For context.
And he was pulling away from me. And it's like juggling the shawl, the
it's
baby
the first time
pulling
in public.
Away. And it's
yeah.
in public. I was so nervous.
In nursing room or?
Or is
no,
it just
it's really or? In a shop. So it was in a shop. And I'm like, sorry, I need to feed my child because my child is crying. So that was like really, After that,
so
I think
memorable.
Yeah, I realized I need to practice at home before I go out and breastfeed in there.
But after that, do you have like similar experience and you're fine? Because after that episode, you're like, this is normal now.
You know, we all learn through mistakes, right? So after that, it was more practice and more confidence.
But I guess that's a good memory, right? Because like at that moment, it was like frantic. But now, you know, when we posed you this question, it became a good memory.
It's like for life, it's etched here. You can't. Okay.
Question three,
the next one. What is the worst breastfeeding memory you have so far?
Five. Okay. I would say when I have to pump when I'm traveling for work and there is no pumping facility or privacy. So I remember I had to pump in a public toilet. Really to relieve myself. I can't take it anymore. Then you can hear that there is a queue of people. They were just really knocking on the door.
Oh no.
And I start getting nervous, right? So after 15 minutes, I'm like, okay, I better wrap. Like, just don't need to finish everything. I just wrap. And I was crying, right?
Oh,
pouring
no.
my milk into the toilet.
Because it's
toilet.
Dirty.
Yes. Pouring in. And you know what? I dropped.
Oh god.
I dropped. Yeah. Because I panicked. So it was like the worst experience, and I came out feeling embarrassed and angry at the same time, and I have to like really wash it at the basin, you know, and it was so disgusting.
I'm sure you still feel it now as strongly as you did.
Which is why I really want to make sure, like, you know, even when we provide a space or facility for mom, right, there must be a separate washing facility. Mm-hmm. And be patient with all these mothers or be patient with people in general. Just be patient.
I think, like, you know, with breastfeeding, as with any other journey, there are definitely highs and lows. And, you know, sometimes we only, you know, talk about the highs, especially with social media, with, you know, communication that's so easy to spread good news now. But sometimes we don't, you know, share the low points that make people feel like, hey, you know, I also experienced that.
Yeah, like normalize it.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
So I mean, we hope, you know, with Yvonne sharing, you know, it's okay that, you know, we had one bad day of breastfeeding. It doesn't affect your entire breastfeeding journey. And, you know, there are things that we also want to highlight to celebrate, but also want to share to, you know, maybe advise or, you know, to encourage other breastfeeding moms who may also be going through a difficult time.
Yeah, and with that being said, we're down to our last question, the final one. So you have one line or word, like advice for mothers or mothers to be out there who are currently breastfeeding or preparing to breastfeed, what would it be?
You are enough. And don't measure your love by milliliters.
Yeah, milliliters meaning the milk that
you
know, sometimes, you know, you say like, oh, you know, some other moms have like 150.
Yes.
One day got 1 liter.
Don't compare.
Yeah,
don't compare. It's not a competition. You do you, and you are enough.
Yay! Thank you so much, people. Thank you so much.
You passed the test.
Flying colors.
Thank you so much for coming on our show, being our first guest to kickstart season 2 of Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast. And we hope, you know, our mommies and daddies listening, or, you know, if you're viewing this on TikTok or Instagram, I hope that you've also benefited from our sharing. Make sure to follow us on our social media, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
Yeah, also do subscribe us at Spotify to check out, you know, our upcoming episodes of season 2 Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast, on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Also do turn on the notifications so you know it when the next episode drops. If you have enjoyed, also do leave us a review. Once again, I'm Valen.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Yvonne.
Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you on episode 2 of Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast. Bye.
Bye.